This podcast is directed towards PGY1s and medical students to give a brief overview of medical topics. This podcast is intended for medical professionals and is not intended to be used for medical advice. Welcome to another episode of our podcast, I Am Basics. Today I'm joined with Dr. Tark and Dr. Bass. We will be covering today the overview of shock.
Just going to get us kicked off here. This is a pretty wide topic, and we're just going to do a general overview and then later on dive deeper into the different categories of shock. So Tark, kick us off here. Generally, what are you looking for in a patient showing up that makes you think maybe a little bit of shock?
Three main things. One is their mentation. The second thing is their blood pressure. And third thing is their heart rate. These are the three things I look at whenever I have a patient come in that I'm suspecting shock. Their mentation is going to tell me if they have any end organ damage, because essentially your brain is injured. So anything else is going to be injured.
Brain is an organ. Got it.
Yeah. Blood pressure, narrow pulse pressure versus wide pulse pressure. That's going to give me an idea of where I'm going to go with my differential for this cause of shock. You're going to want to look at a map less than 60. Some people say less than 55, depending on the patient himself and the heart rate. Are they tachycardic or bradycardic? Or are they out of whack completely? Are they an AFib or a VT or something else is going on?
And just to clarify, the tachycardic, bradycardic, those are just moving into different categories based on
yeah,
those.
Yeah, based on those.
You're still thinking shock, but like for the shocky patient with low blood pressure typically. Mm. What kind of physical exam findings? Just your only tools are your stethoscope and your hands. We'll get into more later here, but what are you observing from the patient, or what are you getting from the history that is going to lead you down that shock road?
So from my history from the patient, you can ask them a couple of questions. One, any recent procedures done? Have they had a heart cath? Had any chest pain or anything going on for the past couple of days? You can ask if they had any bleeding anywhere, if they're on any anticoagulation, any falls, trauma. Then you examine them. I think that's the main thing for me from history. I don't know if you guys think about something else, but these are the four real things I look at.
I don't know about you, about Dr. Bass, but risk factors, just anything in their history that makes me think that maybe they have like hypertension, diabetes, risk factors for like cardiogenic causes of shock, any recent surgeries, you've mentioned that as well, hardware that's retained or any other devices that are implanted. And then of course, all medications. What have they been taking? What have they not been taking? Or what do they just start? If you have any.
No, y'all are hitting the nail on the head. I think the only other thing is just seeing if they have, this is going further down the road, with any recent infections or anybody that's been around them that's been sick, because of course that's going to go into another type of shock in and of itself.
And do these patients like get into shock quick, or is it slow? Does it?
Some of them, they come in shock like they're completely gone. Very poor mental condition. They're shocky. They're tachycardic. Some of them are, it's a gradual, like you saw the patient early in the morning. They're, for some reason, they're having a GI bleed or they're bleeding somewhere that you don't know. Then it's a gradual and you see them deteriorating through the whole day. Some, it's gradual. Some of them, like cardiac tamponade, for example, it's a gradual thing, but some of them come in with a complete shock. So it depends on the category, I would say.
So then moving away from just the pure physical exam of the lowest amount of equipment you have available to you. Let's say you have all your dream equipment around you and you can just reach for anything. What are you going to reach for when you're trying to work up this patient?
I mean, the big things, of course, like Dr. Torg was mentioning with the physical exam, the only other thing I would ask, do they look warm? Do they look dry? Are they diaphoretic? But if I have anything at hand, of course, I want to get basic imaging done, basic blood work done. So like chest x-ray, if it's a trauma, of course, like that can help you figure out if there's like a pneumothorax, hemothorax, or if there's pneumonia, which will then take you down different roads. A CT scan could be another thing, depending on what you're wanting to look for. But then a lot of it's going to be like blood work, of course, like your VBG, your blood culture, CBC, BMP, all those just to get your differential workup started. But it just varies depending on how that patient presents in the beginning and what you see and what you're suspecting.
How about you, Dr. Targ? So Dr. Bass is here using the x-ray machine. Do you have anything fancier?
Ultrasound.
Yeah.
Definitely. Thing for most of us, ultrasound is like the biggest thing.
And not everyone's obviously going to have the point of care ultrasound they can just wheel over and slap on a patient.
But if it's in the ED, you usually have one, so fair game, but it's going to give you a lot of ideas. Like you use the ultrasound where you can look at the lungs. It's going to tell you, do they have B lines, don't have B lines. B lines are going to tell you, is he overloaded or not? That's essentially what B lines are going to tell you. you can look and see if there's a consolidation by like hepatization on the ultrasound. That's going to tell you there's a pneumonia. You can look at the heart. Like, you don't need to look to see what's there actually. If you just see it, hey, this doesn't look like his heart is squeezing that much. You can do cardiac, like if you go down the path of ultrasound, there's so much you can do. You can just look at the basic stuff. They have pericardial effusion. Is it going into tamponade or not? Is it large enough to cause a tamponade? Do they have pneumonia just by ultrasounding them? Do they have a lot of effusion? Do they have pericardial effusion? Do they have RV failure by just looking at the RV? Is it very big, generous, pushing on the LV? Are there LVs failing? Do they have enlarged IVC, like a plethoric IVC, to tell you that they're overloaded, they're in heart failure, or cardiogenic shock? So all of this with the ultrasound radiation.
And the IVC can, I think, also can rule out some shock too.
Like, yeah.
IVC ain't going to be 2 centimeters in plumb in a patient who's hemorrhagic or hypovolemic.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you haven't looked at the IVC before you go to present to your attending, you're already screwed.
And IVC is a relatively controversial topic, but at least in the workup of shock,
yeah,
a plump IVC moves you down different roads. So getting a little more specific about labs, what kind of, you already mentioned chest x-ray, but what kind of labs are you?
I already hinted at it, but you want to get a CBC. Those are the big things to look for, like leukocytosis. Of course, if somebody's in an acute traumatic event, you may not get a decrease in hemoglobin, but if there's something like a GI bleed, and like what Tark was mentioning earlier, and it's been a slow kind of gradual onset, you may see some anemia. BMPs really aren't going to help you too much unless you're suspecting like a really bad DKA episode. But those are the big ones I normally look for, at least at first. Of course, if those come up dry, then you're starting to look at, of course, all levels, everything else, TSH, those sort of things.
I think there's maybe some utility for some of the metabolic panels and electrolytes, yeah, if you're thinking like liver failure, acute, yeah, liver failures.
If you are, that's going to tell you. If they have end-organ damage, yeah, acidophen, if lactic acid, it's a big three for me at least.
Yeah. Mm.
Not to that, to me, is always plus or minus.
Yeah. Okay. Not quite right.
Blood pressure, I think most people can, I'm not trying to drag you here, but like, map of 55 or 50 on blood pressure. Oh, is it a shock that the lactic acid is a little up? But
yeah, I think I've seen people with the blood pressure 120, the lactate of a low.
That's fair. That's
kind of give me the idea that there's end organ damage. That's essentially what's telling me, but that's about it.
And then if you're thinking infectious, you go ahead and grab your blood cultures and
pro-calcium,
yeah, CRP. And then nobody's mentioning the one scanner that reveals all the truth, but
you're starting to sound like an ED physician.
Truthfully, like the CT scanner, you're thinking, yeah, if you have time, but a lot of these patients are pretty sick. Yeah. You may not have time to throw them through a scanner.
Say, it depends on how stable that shock patient looks, after, especially after you got your ultrasound. But like Tark was mentioning, you get quite a bit of information off that ultrasound.
That's true. And then one of the things we get in internal medicine, the critiques we get, is we spend a lot of time thinking. We do this giant workup, this big history taking. But in the meantime, the patient's blood pressure is maybe a little bit low. The cardiac output's not great. So we can't wait for some of these labs to come back. We can't wait for these scans to get done. So what are we doing for management?
So you ultrasound the guy, you decide, like, you're going to take a step, right? Focus them. You see that they have an plumped IVC, their heart is not beating that well, there's something going on with the heart, they're thinking this is cardiogenic. You start diuresing them right away. You're thinking this is hemorrhagic. Their IVC is completely collapsed. You're thinking this dehydration or hemorrhagic. You start either giving them fluids till you get a CBC to determine if they need a transfusion. And if you already have a bleeding in front of you and they're already shocked, you can consider MTP, like massive transfusion protocol, in these guys. Pressors are going to be the next thing if you try all of this and you're not getting anywhere.
And maybe that at that point you're calling your friends up in the ICU. Yeah. They can help us out for the rest of the journey from this. I know some of you guys actually want to be ICU docs, but all right. Any other like pearls or pitfalls, anything just to watch out for when working up these shock patients?
Don't keep watching them.
Yeah, do all something.
Right. Yeah.
Please
give it. Sit and wait and see.
They're already dying.
The turnaround day moment. Yeah. I apologize. Usually that's my capper for the episode, but I've elected to at least try to categorize these shocks.
It varies by person, but your typical are going to be like your cardiogenic, your distributive, hypovolemic, and then obstructive will be your other one. And then there's some others that are mixed pictures, but those are your big categories.
And then they obviously break down into
different things. Yeah, and like we keep hitting at, your treatment and workup and everything depends on which shock is going on.
Perfect. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, IM Basics. I want to thank the residents who took part in this show. It could not have been done without them. We hope you enjoyed this production, and if you did, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts. If you especially found it useful, share us with your friends and colleagues. Thank you.